Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
As a farmer's wife, I'm so proud to be sponsored by FarmDrop, the ethical grocer that delivers the farmer's market to your door. Cut out the supermarket with FarmDrop, who deliver food direct from over 250 local farmers, makers and bakers. Just like a supermarket, you choose a delivery slot and exactly the items you need. But unlike a supermarket, they source as locally as possible and pay producers properly. If you're in London, Bristol or Bath, visit farmdrop.com. It's a great way to shop, particularly in the build-up to Christmas. Quote the code BACKSTORY to get £25 off your first £50 order and to show your support for this podcast. Hi, and welcome to the last Back Chat of the season. So, Susie, episode 8, Birth, Sweat and Trauma. I can only think that Mikey is some kind of saint, although this is maybe an unhelpful comment, I don't know, as perhaps he feels far from that. I just guess when you have to cope, you have to cope. But he certainly had a lot on his plate. And when she mentioned the house move on top of everything else, I just couldn't believe it.
I know. I really felt for Mikey. I think it's really difficult for dads, isn't it? Because they're not just concerned about the baby and what's happening with the birth, but also they're seeing their partners go through something that must be incredibly difficult. And I can imagine that they feel helpless at times. It just felt like a catalogue of events, didn't it? You know, really difficult birth, Lottie having to stay in hospital, coming home and then having to go back in. And on top of that, the house move. I honestly don't know how he managed that. And I don't think he does either. I think it's just one of those things that you look back on and think, what the hell was that all about?
And on top of that, I suppose now it's like they're both now having to cope with this like post-traumatic stress disorder. And I can imagine that, you know, you think you kind of got over those, the kind of catastrophe time sort of thing or the full crisis. But then actually I heard Lottie saying that she's found this bit harder even than the crisis time. So I suppose it's that reliving.
People process difficult events differently, don't they? And I think if you're in a couple, one of you might need to go over something again and again, and the other person might just want to move on and not think about it or talk about it as much. So that's a difficult thing to manage.
Yes, and Lottie said she couldn't really offer Mikey any support at the moment, which is completely understandable, but it does mean that I suppose you have to hope that Mikey's getting support from somewhere else, because yeah, when you're in that sort of feeling that Lottie's in, like, you just have to look after yourself, don't you? Plus a small baby, obviously. Yeah, and I was reading on the birth trauma website that the things, like, not for a husband not to do, and it really sort of chimed with me, because, you know, knowing sort of my dad or my husband or what have you, like, I could sort of just imagine them sort of being kind of like, oh, pull yourself together, you know, like, just crack on, like, you'll be fine sort of thing. And that is actually the worst thing you can say to somebody with PTSD, apparently, like, and I can well believe it. Do not tell her to pull herself together. She's already feeling bad enough about herself and is doing her best kind of thing. So
what came across to me was that need to go through that story again and again and again, to keep telling that story. And I think that's maybe how people process trauma. That's one of the things that people need to do. And maybe actually one of the triggers that might make somebody realize that this is what's happening for them, that, you know, this is something different from just feeling low after the birth of a baby, that if you keep going over the experience again and again and having to tell that story again and again, I wonder whether that is a sign that there's a level of trauma there.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, there's that very natural thing, isn't there, of wanting to talk about the birth again and again. And you know, with me and my friends, you know, it's always been kind of quite a sort of laugh, and it's be like, right, you know, tell us about the birth. I think there's that very natural thing of like telling quite a lot of people, and you know, because any birth is quite traumatic, and I think any woman needs to, you know, talk about it quite a lot. But I suppose it's that thing of like maybe a month or two down the line and you're still telling every single person. And Lottie, I think, said that she's literally telling anyone. Like, that is obviously, you know, a sign that it's much worse.
So come on, Claire, we need to hear your birth story then, don't we? What were your expectations? I mean, Lottie spoke about her expectations for a medical birth, didn't she? She clearly wanted to have pain relief. She wanted, you know, that sort of lots of medical involvement. What did you want for yours, and how did it actually end up going?
Well, a friend of mine sent me a lot of hypnobirthing books, and I had decided, you know, I sort of felt like this was the thing to do. So I sort of read the books and I downloaded the music, which I think was like whale sounds. and I thought, right, okay, you know, I'm going to have this really sort of hippie birth, even though I'm not actually particularly hippie. And anyway, I went to the hospital. I was like induced because I was very late. And, you know, one thing led to another, and I had like the most medicalized birth known to man, really, or known to woman. And yeah, so I was like induced for 4 days, ended up like finally in induced labor and with an epidural that didn't work for 7 hours, and sort of climbing this. I can remember looking down from the ceiling because I think I was so high. And Patrick saying to me, Claire, so is this a good time to ask whether I should put the whale music on now? And I was like, some urban techno would be more appropriate at this time. So, yeah, safe to say, I ended up with a cesarean, emergency cesarean.
Oh, well, I had the sunroof option with all of mine, so they were all fairly straightforward. But I do remember being pretty sensitive to what people said at the time. You know, I remember somebody was trying to give me a spinal block while I was having a contraction. And I was, you know, saying, ow, this hurts on many levels. And one of the medics said, oh, you know, it's just a small contraction. And I could have honestly turned around and punched them, I think. So I do think, you know, we are massively, you know, you're so vulnerable, aren't you? So it's really understandable that you're very sensitive to what people around you are saying. And that was one of the things that interested me about this programme, about, you know, finding out about birth trauma, that it can be what actually happens that traumatizes you, or it can be, you know, how you perceive other people reacting to you, or things that are said, or things that are not done, maybe. That was interesting.
Yes, you feel very vulnerable. You leave your dignity at the door, and you know, that I think can mean that some people have a really traumatic experience, unfortunately.
So one of the other things that I was quite surprised by was that birth trauma is often kind of not picked up on afterwards, that sometimes it's maybe misdiagnosed. You know, I guess we're all much more familiar with postnatal depression, aren't we? So I guess if you go to your doctor and you start talking about how you're feeling after the birth, it's maybe more likely that they're going to diagnose postnatal depression. But they are different conditions, aren't they? And I think they, you know, they sometimes need a different response.
Yeah, that's what I understand. When you go through like a traumatic experience, then generally I think you have to have like a sort of speaking therapy is going to work for you best.
If you have a look at the Birth Trauma Association website, there is really good information on there, which might be helpful. And I guess as well, it's just like anything else. If you go and see your GP or you see your midwife or whatever, and you feel that you're not getting the help that you need, then you just kind of need to go back to them and be clear about what's going on.
I was also really interested, Susie, by the juxtaposition of the way people want you to feel when you have a baby and the way that Lottie and women in the same position are feeling. Did you feel that that was an issue for her?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're always given those really strong messages that as long as the baby, you know, as long as the baby's healthy, that's all that matters. And, you know, of course, on one level it is. And I think we all recognise how lucky we are to live in a society where we've got, you know, free access to good quality healthcare. You know, there are millions of women around the world that don't have that. Mm. But it also, you know, that also on some level to say to somebody, well, at least the baby's healthy and that's all that matters, it does kind of belittle the trauma that they've been through. And again, it comes back to that thing of women needing to, well, and men as well, needing to talk about it again and again until they've kind of processed what happened. So I think the biggest gift that you can give someone is to kind of let them do that and not try to move them on, not try to sort of jolly them along and point out all of the positives. I'm sure that people will see the positives and come around to them in their own time. Just listening to them and allowing them to tell their story multiple times if needs be can be really valuable.
It is so important to let each person who goes through it to, you know, talk about it. So on a lighter note, we hope you've enjoyed our backlash on small talk this week. We feel more than anything that the backstory is about learning from listening to other people's experiences. So we've launched the backlash on small talk this Christmas to encourage some great conversation, and great conversations start with a great question. We've all been at those parties and you're thinking, well, how am I going to ask this person who I don't really know here? And you end up sort of saying, oh, we don't know you're shopping. Like, and so this is like different questions that we're putting out there to just encourage something a little bit deeper. And so no doubt you're wondering what these questions are. Well, check out our social media, The Backstory Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, at The Backstory Pod on Twitter. And let us know what you find out this Christmas period, because we'd love to hear from you. This is our final episode of The Backstory for 2017, and we'll be taking a bit of a break. But keep us in your feed, because we'll be back in 2018.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great Christmas and see you next year.
See you next year. Bye. Thanks again to our sponsors, FarmDrop. Go and check out their glorious website, farmdrop.com, and quote the code BACKSTORY to get £25 off your first £50 order and to show your support for this podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.